Likutei Halachos Choshen Mishpat, Hilchos Aveda Metzia, Halacha Beis. This chapter of Likutei Halachos is going to be based on a Torah in Likutei Moran, chapter 6 in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, which deals with a few topics. Rav Nosson Zal is going to summarize it in this first paragraph, and then we'll go on. And we'll try to make it clear enough that when we do the Halacha in Likutei Halachos, you'll understand how it connects. Al pi ha-maimar va-yoymer Hashem el Moshe kro es Yehoshua v'siyatzvu bo el Moed simen vov. This chapter in Likutei Halachos is based on the chapter in Likutei Moran that's based on that pasuk ayin shom inyan tshuva. Look in that chapter in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal discusses the topic of tshuva. V'isa shom, it's brought over there in Likutei Moran, she'al yedei tshuva nase b'chinas aleph. That when a person does tshuva, they generate the concept of the letter Aleph. The Zohar HaKadosh shows how the Aleph is split into three sections. The way the Aleph is written in the Sefer Torah, you have like a Yud on top, what resembles a Yud on top, and an upside down Yud on bottom, and a Vav in the middle, something that's shaped like a diagonal Vav in the middle. Rabbeinu Zal in this chapter in Likutei Moran explains the three sections of the Aleph related to three levels of Kiddusha, a concept of an Aliyah and a Yerida, and what's in between is what the person has to go through to get from Yerida to Aliyah. He uses it to discuss a number of items, which we'll see in a minute. Ki abal tshuva tzorech lihiyos boki bahalocha. Because a Baal Tshuva must know how to go. Halacha here doesn't mean literally Halacha Shulchan Aruch, which he needs to know also. But it means a person needs to know how to go. He needs to know how to be a Boki Barotzui, Boki B'Shoiv. Rotzui means climbing up. Shoiv means coming back down. Bechinas, corresponding to a two psukim in Tehillim. There's one pasuk, Bechinas im esak shomayim shomato. Dovid HaMelech says, Hashem, even when I rise all the way up to the heavens, Shom'ato, you're right there with me, which means I don't forget Hashem. There are some people, Rabbi Nizal brings from the Likutei Moran, there's some people who when they become very rich or very learned, as a result of their money or brains, they reject Hashem. Or they have less dealings with Hashem. I don't need Hashem anymore because I have money. I have $3 million in the bank. What do I need Hashem for? I just need Hashem to stay out of my way, not to get in the way. Or if I become such a big chacham or such a big tzaddik, again, I don't have to daven so much. I don't have to come on to Hashem because I myself can take care of things. So David HaMelech said differently. He said, "Im esak shomayim, even if I feel myself reaching up to the heavens, shom ato, you Hashem are right there with me," which means he knew how to climb well. Va'atzia sho'il, and even when I find myself falling way, way down, the Gemara talks about seven levels of Gehenim. Sho'il is called the bottom, the seventh level down. Even when I go down to Sheol, Hineko, you're right there with me, Hashem. Again, I know how to go down also. I know how to fall properly. Lahavdil, in self-defense, they teach you how to punch and how to kick and this and that. And one of the things, one of the main parts of the limud is learning how to fall. Now you would say, that's ridiculous. If you're teaching me karate, you're teaching me how to punch this guy's head right off his shoulders and everything, then what do I need to learn how to fall? The answer is they understand also that even this Superman and everything, there's a possibility or a likelihood that he might get into situations where he's going to fall. And if he learns how to fall properly, he'll learn how to get up from a fall twice as fast or 10 times as fast as somebody else who falls. Or he'll learn even when he's down how to be stronger in dealing with an opponent than somebody else is when he's standing up. So we see this Baruchnius also. There's a chokhmah to knowing how to fall. Knowing how to fall in a way where when you fall, you don't splatter, and you don't stay crippled for life, you're not out for the count of 10, but rather to be able to know how to fall in a way where it's healthy, and it gives the person the ability to get up and go to new levels. Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, Esak Shamayim Zebchinas Nekudel Yoina Shalhu Aleph. This concept of rising up to the heavens corresponds to the upper part of the Aleph. Shehi Bechinas Kisei, which corresponds to the throne of Hashem, the Miskasyo Le'ela Migag Shebalef. The word Kisei means chair, and Lechasot also means to cover up. This refers to a level of light that's so high that it's usually kept covered, it's hidden, Bechina, which is this upper part of the Aleph. Bechinas b'mufla mimcho al tidrosh u'b'mechusa mimcho al tachkor. There's a pasuk that says that in that which is wondrous from you, you're not allowed to discuss it, and in that which is hidden from you, you're not allowed to investigate it, delve into it deeply. Now this word mufla is miloshin pele. Pele, pe lamed aleph, is the letters aleph, showing that there's an aspect of the aleph which is called pele, wondrous, hidden. It's that upper part which is a very high level of kedusha, this upper part of the aleph, because it represents a wisdom that's so deep that if you try to get involved in it, you could get messed up, chas v'shalom. The person isn't, unless the person is very, very, very qualified, the likelihood is that it'll do them more harm than good. That's this wisdom of Kesser, the example of Rabbi Akiva and the other three rabbis going up to a place where three out of four failed. Only one came out unharmed. That's one level. The second level, Vatsia Shoil Hineko, whereas if I go down, down, down to the lowest level, Hineko, you Hashem are right there with me, Ze Bechinas Nekuda HaTachtoino. That corresponds to the lower part of the Aleph. Rabbi Nezal says over there, Ki Iker HaTshuva Al Yedei Dmimo Ushtika. The main aspect of tshuva, the main kapara in tshuva is by the person being able to be silent, to be quiet when they're embarrassed or insulted. As Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Doim Lashem, be silent for Hashem, v'hischoy le'eloi. And the Gemara darshins, v'hu yapi l'cho chalolim chalolim, and Hashem will slay all your enemies. When a person's about tshuva, he's made a lot of enemies. Who are his enemies? All his averas that he did. Every single avera that a person does becomes an angel, creates an angel that prosecutes him, that works against him. And a person needs to be able to destroy all of those angels, to destroy the stains from the averas. One of the most powerful detergents is busha. Bizyoino is a person who accepts being insulted or embarrassed and doesn't respond back, but rather he accepts it knowing that I've done things to deserve this. Even if this particular person that's insulting me now, the thing that they're insulting me for is unjust, it's not right, but still I know myself that I've done things in my life for which I do deserve to be insulted. So rather than to punch this guy's lights out, or rather than to get angry or upset, I'll accept this as kapora savoinois. I'll accept this as proper embarrassment, shame and embarrassment for things that I've done wrong. And that's considered to be one of the highest forms of tshuva. Validei hadmima v'hashesika, through this being silent and quiet, nase bechinas nekuda tachtoina. That creates that lower part of the Aleph. That represents the tikkun of the lower part of the Aleph. In that chapter in Likud Imran, Rabbi Nezal explains it based on psukim, v'sachas raglov, kemaisa livnas hasapir. There's a lot of discussion in this Torah of Ovon Likud Imran. We're going to touch on the parts that we need only for this halacha in Likud Halachis. Vaidei ha-tshuva, shehu bechinas keser, through the process of tshuva, which corresponds to Keser, the crown of Hashem, because Rabbi Nezal explains over there, the Gemara says, Habolet Taher, Oimrim Loi Hamtein, that a person who wants to do tshuva, a person who wants to become pure, the first statement that Hashem says to them is, wait. You have to be prepared to wait in tshuva. You have to know that it's not a 3-minute process. It takes time. And one of the things that about tshuva feels they have the least of is time, because the person's feeling upset over how they wasted 10 years or 20 years, 30 years. The last thing this guy wants to hear is slow. This guy's looking for fast. He's looking for the fast lane. And Hashem says, Bedafka, that the process is a slow process. And Rabbi Nizal shows how in Aramaic the word for weight is katar. Chof tof resh. There's a posuk katar li ze'er v'achvoch. Wait for me a little bit and I'll show you. So the word katar, chof tof resh, which means to wait, is the same letters as the word keser, which means the crown. And Rabbi Nizal shows in that chapter in the Likutei Moran that tshuva reaches up to the crown. It's referring to that highest madreg of kedusha. So through tshuva, which is bechinas keser, bechinas nekud el yoino, it corresponds to this upper part of the aleph. Val yidei habusha shemizbayish kishoymeya bizyoinoi v'shoyseg, through a person enduring shame and embarrassment, where the person hears their own bizoyoi, they hear themselves being insulted or embarrassed, v'shoyseg, and the person is silent. This is the main thing in tshuva. There's other things in tshuva. There's fasting, there's giving tzedakah, there's davening, there's lot. But the ikara tshuva is yishma bezyoino yidem vishtoi. Aidezoi sabusha nase havov shebetoicho aleph. That shame and embarrassment is what creates the vov in middle of the aleph. Shehi bechinas rokia klolius hagavnin. It corresponds to the sky, which is multicolored. Because Rabbi Nizal explains in that Torah Likutei Moran, the Pasuk says that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was about to pass away, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, summon your student Yehoshua, and both of you sit together in the tent, and in this tent, you will give over to Yehoshua everything that you have to teach him. Rabbi Nizal explains in that Torah in the Likutei Moran that Moshe Rabbeinu is the symbol of the upper part of the Aleph. He represents the super high level. Yehoshua, the student, represents the bottom part of the Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu represents the sun. Yehoshua is the moon. The tachas raglov, kemaise livna sasapre, the levona is tachas raglov, under the feet, it says in the Pasuk. And the tent in which they sat is symbolic of the sky, because there's a pasuk where it says, "Vayim tochem ko'oihel loshevis." Kaviyochel Hashem spread out the sky, the heavens, as a tent for which Hashem sits, in which Hashem sits. So we see that the concept of Moshe Yehoshua in the tent is a concept of nekuda elyoina, nekuda tachtoina. And this vav, the sky in the middle, the sky is something which is multicolored. This shame and embarrassment, when a person is embarrassed and their face changes colors, that's symbolic of this sky which unites Moshe and Yeshua, upper and lower, the sun and the moon. Because when a person is embarrassed, their face changes to many colors. Ayin shom kol ze heitev. Rav Nosnal says, look this up in that chapter on the Likutei Moran well. Ki kan nichtav shaloi keseder ktsas. Because the way Rav Nosnal writes it here, he doesn't write it in the sequence in which it's explained in that chapter on the Likutei Moran. Uklal ho'inyin, the general concept over there, kolul betmunas aleph, is all included and represented by the aleph, the image of the aleph. Shehu nekudo hel yoina, unekuda tachtoina, vivov, which is composed of three sections, an upper part, a lower part, and the vav in the middle. V'hu bechinas sholosh mitzvos shenitztavu Yisrael b'knisosam l'eretz. Rabbi Nizal, in that chapter in Likutei Moran, shows that these three parts of the Aleph correspond to the three mitzvos which Hashem instructed the Jews to do upon entering Eretz Yisrael, which were, number one, lahachris zaroi shel Amolek, wipe out Amolek. Ze bechinas nekuda tachtoina, that represents the lower part of the Aleph, bechinas Yehoshua, corresponding to Yeshua. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu sent Yehoshua to do battle against Amalek. Tzei hilochim Amalek. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a Syrian general or a Lebanese general who goes hiding in the back while he sends his lower guy out to do the battle. Why in the world did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Yehoshua tzei hilochim Amalek? Because the battle against Amalek corresponds to the lower part of the Aleph, which is symbolized by Yehoshua. V'livno is beis habchira. The second mitzvah was to build a beis hamikdosh. Ze bechinas nekuda el yoina, that corresponds to the upper part of the Aleph. Bechinas Moshe, das, that corresponds to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the symbol of das. That's why the Gemara says, kol mi sheyesh bo deyo ke'ilu nivne beis hamikdash biyomov. That whoever has das, it's as if the beis hamikdash were built in his time. The Gemara shows that the word mikdash is written in between two names of Hashem, and the word das is written in between two names of Hashem, to show that mikdash and das go together. So the Beis HaMikdash, which was the center for das, it corresponds to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the symbol of das, which is the upper part of the Aleph. And the third mitzvah that the Jews were commanded was v'limnois melech, to appoint a king. Ze bechinas vov shebetoicho aleph. The melech corresponds to the middle section of the aleph. Ki gimel mitzvah seilu heim bechinas hatshuva ayin shom. Because Rabbeinu Zal shows in this chapter in Likutei Moran how these three mitzvahs, just as Hashem instructed the Yidden to do this when they would enter into the kedusha, into Eretz Hakodesh, so to any Jew who wants to do tshuva, which means he's leaving the tumah and he wants to enter into the kedusha, he has to be prepared to make these three tikkunim, which are to wipe out his amalek, and to appoint his king, and to build his Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbeinu Zal over there in Likutei Moran explains how this relates to the process of tshuva. Ayin shom kol zeh b'soif ha-maimar hanal. Study all of this as it's explained in the end of that chapter on Likutei Moran, Torah Vov over there. Speikos, doubts and emuna, and appointing a king represents certain things, and building a Beis HaMikdash represents tikkun hadas, bringing yourself to a shlemus hadas. In that chapter in the Likutei Moran is where it discusses this in more detail. Now, Rav Nosson Zal says, v'zeh b'chinas hashova saveda. These concepts, which Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in the Likutei Moran, are tied into the concept of returning a lost article. Shehu b'chinas tshuva mamish, which is also a 100% form of tshuva. Ki b'chinas hoshev teshivem lo'achicha. The wording, the instruction in the Torah that talks about returning a lost article is Hoshev Teshivim. It uses that word, tshuva. Ki bechinas avedo ze bechinas va'atzio shoil. Because Rabbeinu Zal says the concept of someone losing something, it fell down. How did you lose your watch? It fell down and I lost it, right? That's usually the concept of losing something. Rav Nosson Zal says that corresponds to this concept of va'atzio sho'oil, of a person falling down. Sheshom kol hanidochim v'hanevodim. It's in those low places called sho'oil, which are symbolized by sho'oil, that's where all the lost articles and those Jews that have been rejected or dejected have fallen. V'ikar hashovas ho'avedo hudafka koidem yiyush. The Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch tell us, when is a person required to return a lost article? Only if the owner of that article has not yet given up hope on it. If the person still has hope that they're going to get it back, then there's a mitzvah to return it to them. But if the owner has given up, let's say a person finds a dollar in middle of Rehov Yafo, in middle of the day when there's 6,000 people walking by there at any minute, if you find that dollar bill and it has no specific writing on it, you know, no writing that a person wrote his name on it or anything like that, you're not obligated to return that at all. Or a bus ticket, let's say, that has no name on it, no simon on it, it's ridiculous for you to think of returning it, because the one who dropped it surely has given up hope on ever getting that back, since there's no way to identify him from it. You know, there's no way. So once there's yiyush, then there's no mitzvah of hashova saveta. Rav Nosson Zal explains, this corresponds to that person who falls in his Yiddishkeit, who falls to a low level. He takes a tremendous nosedive. Ki osur leyayesh atzmoy chas v'sholem. Rabbeinu Zal says in that chapter in Likutei Moran that to the one who finds himself in a low madrega, the main thing that he has to tell himself and know is that he's forbidden to give up hope on himself. af im toye kese oyved, even if he feels himself wandering around lost, like a lost sheep, still it's forbidden for him to make yush. Ki ein shum yush bo'ilam klal, because there's no such thing as giving up hope on oneself. Vize ikar hatshuva, and this is the main ingredient for tshuva. Kishe'enoi miyayish atzmoi b'shum oifen bo'ilam klal. It'll only work if the person decides that they're never going to give up hope on themselves, no matter how many setbacks they have, no matter how many reversals they have. They're not going to give up hope. Afim nofal amokom shenofal. Even if I feel I've fallen to a very low place, to a place of tremendous tuma, to a place where I'm doing many averos, still not going to. Afal pikein sorech sheyeda ki maloi choloretz kevoidoi. The person must know and believe that the whole world is full of Hashem's kovoid, which means even if I'm on the 90th floor below ground level, Hashem is still there. Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is all the way up and all the way down. Ulekayim va'atzia shoyel hineko. And the person has to fulfill this pasuk, that even when I find myself in shoyel, in the worst places of tumah, in the lowest place, hineko, I know that you, Hashem, are right there with me. I know that to get attached to Hashem doesn't mean I have to climb up 600 levels. Hashem is right there. All I have to do is make the kesher first with Hashem, acknowledge that I believe that even now Hashem is with me, and then slowly pull myself out of this ditch and get myself up, you know, start climbing levels. Ulevli le'yayish atzmei klal, and not to give up hope at all. V'zeh ikar ha'tshuva. This is the main ingredient in tshuva. Just like it's the main ingredient in the laws of Hashava Saveda. The law of Hashava Saveda doesn't begin if the owner has given up on the article. If the owner has given up on it, there's no concept of returning it to him. Why? It's not his anymore. He detached himself. V'zeh b'chinas Hashava Saveda shu koidem yush daika. This is why the Shulchan Aruch says Hashava Saveda is only when you know the owner hasn't given up on it yet. Ze bechinas vatzia shol hineko, bechinas nekuda tachtoina. This corresponds to that lower level. She'af al pi she'ovad avedosoi, even though the person has lost what they've lost, einoi miyayish atzmoi, he doesn't give up hope. Umetzape she'yimtzoenu, he still believes and hopes and yearns that he'll find it. Ki be'emes, ein shum aveda boilam, because the truth is there's no such thing as lost in the world. Lost, period. So therefore, if there's no such thing as lost, why give up hope? You understand? And the one who finds the lost article, tzorech lekayem loisire shoyer ochicho oiseyoi nidochim, has to fulfill what the pasuk says, that you should not watch your friend's ox or your friend's sheep wandering around lost, v'hisalamto, and you'll make believe you don't see it. You'll close your eyes from it as if you don't see. You're not allowed to do that. L'chol avedas ochicho asher toived mimenu, but rather any article. Rav Nosson Zal is quoting the psukim in Chumash now that discuss, you know, losing something and returning it. L'chol avedas ochicho, anything that your brother asher toived mimenu, which your brother will lose, umitzaoso, and you will find it, loisucha lesalem, you have no right to close your eyes to it, to hide yourself from it, to make believe you don't see it. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains. Loisucha lehisalem daika. Note the wording in the pasuk. You're not allowed to hide yourself. Zebechinas nekudo hel yoina. This corresponds to that upper part of the aleph, that hidden light. The miskasya umisalemes leela, where the nature of that light is that it covers itself up and hides itself way up in these high places. Vitzorich lerachim al bal hoaveda. And a Jew is supposed to take pity on this guy that lost something. Livli lahalimayin, not to close your eye to him. Lehisalim ulachiskasa is chasashon, not to hide yourself and cover yourself up. ki ikar tikun hatshuva hu bebechinas gimel nekudai sanal. Because Rabbi Nazal explains in that chapter in the Kutei Maran that the main tikun of tshuva is dependent on all three nekuda, all three sections of the aleph. Dahainu lizkois sheyoyer hanekudo helyoino benekuda tachtoina. The person has to see to it that the upper part of the aleph should shine its light into the lower part of the aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to take Yehoshua and give over to him. Moshe Rabbeinu represents the upper part of the aleph. Yehoshua represents the lower part. Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to shine his light into Yehoshua. This Jew who finds himself in a state of yerida, he can't help himself. He needs somebody else who's a tzaddik to lower a rope to him from above, from up on top, from that nekuda elyona, to lower a rope to him, and he grabs onto that rope and pulls himself out of a ditch with it. Vaydeze yistaknu kol hachatoim, v'yashuvu kol hoavedois vanidochem lemekoimam. Rabbi Nazal explained in that chapter in the Kutei Maran that when you have all three of these nekudos turned on, when all three parts of the aleph are activated, then the person can do tshuva, and he can return, you know, no matter where a person's at, they can return. Ki iker pigam hacheit chas v'sholom hu. Now Rav Nosanzal explains something that comes from the Sifrei Kabbalah. This is a very interesting concept that we need to know. What happens when a Jew does an Avera? What does he cause Hashem to do? There's cause and effect. What happens to Hashem, what happens to the Shechina when I do an Avera in my house, Chas V'Shalom? The answer is, the Shechina leaves the house. The Gemara says that when there's Shalom Bayis, when there's Shalom between Ish and Isha, the Shechina rests among them. The Shechina is present there. When there's no Shalom Bayis, it's no skin off the Shechina's back in a certain sense. The Shechina simply vacates. It lifts off and rises, goes back up. Normally, typically, the Shechina enjoys being among us, among the Tachtoinim, among us lowly beings. However, when we do an Avera, anytime a Jew does an Avera, that emergency light goes on and the Shechina vacates. It rises back up to the 29th floor, to wherever it belongs, you know, in Gamarnu. Rav Nosanzal says here, Ki ikar pigam hacheit chas v'sholom, the main defect that's caused through a sin is hu shal yedei hacheit nistale ko'or lemalo lemalo v'nistalim chas v'sholom. It's that through your sin you cause the light to go up and become hidden, up, 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 you know, on the 80th floor, and gemarnu. Vazai mizgabrim chas v'sholom hachitzoinim bi'oisei adovor shepogam boi chas v'sholom. Now, what happens when the lights go out? What happens when you have a class of 30 kids and you turn the lights out? Everything breaks loose, right? They go nuts. They're throwing tables and chairs. Everything goes crazy. Haywire. Rav Nosanzal says that when the lights go out, when the Shechina is forced to leave because of this Avera that the person did, who moves in? The Chitzoni move in. The Klipos and forces of Tuma move in and attach themselves to that object which you did a sin with. Dahainu b'ma'at ho'or v'anitzutzos shenisharu sham kiyodua, which means, because when the Shechina leaves, it doesn't mean that 100% of the light leaves, because if ever 100% of the light would leave, the object would cease to exist, the house would cease to exist. So what happens is that the majority of the presence of the Shechina leaves, and there's only a little bit of light that remains. And that little bit of light, the klipos, the forces of Tumah, try to grab onto and take control of and use it for their purposes, use it in a negative way. Kiyodua, as is known in Sifrei Kabbalah. Vazai, oisoi hadovor bebechinas aveda. Then that item, that house, or that food item, or whatever it is, becomes a bechina of aveda. Let's say you have a food item, which if the person would have made a bracha on this food and eaten it in a kosher way, then the food has shechina in it. It has kiddush in it. It's metukan. Whereas if the person doesn't make a bracha on it, they eat it without a bracha or the wrong bracha, then in a sense the shechina vacates. And there's only a little drop of light left in there, and the forces of tumah attach themselves to that item. And when the person eats it, instead of it making him healthier and stronger and more religious, that item ends up chas shalom making him physically weaker, or the opposite, or less religious. And then that item falls into the status of aveda. It becomes a lost cause. The house is a lost cause, or the food is a lost cause. V'nidach, and it becomes rejected. Ad yerucha min hashamayim, until Hashem takes pity and fixes that item up again. U'kishezoichen letshuva, so that's what happens when a person does an aveira. Aveira causes the light to vacate and to go up, up, up on high and become hidden from sight. U'kishezoichen letshuva, and when a person does tshuva, ikar hatikun, the main tikkun of the tshuva is sheyoshuv v'yoyer v'yizgale ho'or shenesalim lamala v'yoyer ho'or ho'elyon shebechinas nekuda elyona b'nekuda tachtoina. The main tikkun is that this light, which now is up, up, up on the 80th floor, should get turned on again to its full brightness and be able to shine all the way down to the nekuda tachtoina. And when this light is restored to its original strength and to its original status, where it's able to shine, it's not up on the 80th floor, but it's back down on earth, it's shining brightly the way it's supposed to, then all of those sparks of Kedusha are able to find themselves again and reattach themselves and get their tikkun. And they all return to where they're supposed to return to. V'zeh b'chinas hashova savedo. This corresponds to this mitzvah in physical form of returning a lost article. Kizeh sheroye es hametzio. The person who's walking in the street and sees that watch on the ground, hu b'chinas nekudo helyoina. He corresponds to the upper part of the aleph. Shehu b'chinas Moshe, das. He symbolizes Moshe Rabbeinu, the Das, K'moshe Kosov Shom B'maymar Hanal, as Rabbeinu Zal says in that chapter in the Qumran, the Das is that upper part of the Aleph. Ki einayim al shem ha-chochmo nemro, K'mavur b'divar Rabbeinu Zal b'kama mekoymos, because the eyes represent the Chochmo, the Das. It says by Adam and Chava, v'tipokachno einei shneihem, their eyes were filled with Das, with pikeach, smart. So therefore, this guy who sees the lost article, he represents the Nekud El Yoyna, he represents the Das, because his eyes are active. The one who lost the article didn't see it. It was hidden from his vision. But the one who sees it and finds it, he represents the Das. V'alkein, kisheroye suaveda, when this person sees that watch in the middle of the street, he's not allowed to turn his eyes or to close his eyes to it. As it says in the pasuk, do not make believe you don't see it. Do not close your eyes to it. Because this is the main tikkun, that this upper part of the aleph should not remain in the upper stratospheres doing its thing over there and hide its light from the lower levels. That's not the accomplishment. Through this Jew fulfilling this mitzvah of not closing his eyes to it, by doing that, gam lemalo meira hanekud elyona b'nekuda tachtoina, he effects a tikkun that causes that in heaven, the upper part of the aleph should not be hidden from the lower part. They should be shining. The upper part of the aleph should be doing its thing properly and shining its light into the lower part of the aleph. Ki hamoitzei es ho'aveda, this person who found this lost article, shezocho shetagia liyodoi ho'aveda shel chaveroi, where Hashem worked it out that his friend's object came into his possession. He was walking the street and he found this watch on the ground. Hu bechinas nekudo helyoino legapi chaveroi. Relative to the other guy who lost the watch, he lost the watch, I found the watch, compared to him, I'm considered Nekuda Elyona, because I got it now. I have the watch. Excuse me? Finders keepers, right? Ubal hu aveda hu bechinas Nekuda Tachtoina. Whereas the one who lost the watch, he's the one who's feeling a chisaron. He's the one who's in a state of lacking now. He's in a state of deficiency.
Losers weepers.
Losers weepers. He's the one who's bechinas yerida. Shehu bechinas vatzia shoel hineko. He's in the fallen state. Kishom kol ho'aveido is vanidochim. Because we said that in the shoel, on that ground floor, is where all the lost articles are. People know that when you live in a building like this building that we're in right now, binyanim mishutafim, we have 8 floors in the building. Who ends up getting all the clothespins and the laundry and everything? The guys that live on the lower floors, all the stuff falls on their mirpasot and in their chatzer, right? Because they're on bottom. And all avedos fall to the bottom. So that avedo is bechinas shoel. It's bechinas ground floor. And we learn that when a person's in a state of yerida, the most important thing that the person needs to know is not to give up on himself. And when this person who finds this lost article does not close his eyes to it, but rather he picks it up, and he returns it to the one who lost it, Azai Meir Bechinas Hanekuda Elyoina Bechinas Nekuda Tachtoina. Then this connection is being made. The upper Nekuda, the upper part of the Aleph, is shining into the lower part of the Aleph. The one with the Das, the one who sees, is shining into the one who didn't see. Shezehu Bechinas Tshuva. That's the concept of Tshuva, uniting these two parts of the Aleph, the upper and the lower. Bechinas Hoshev teshivim lo'achicha, as it says in the Chumash, return it to your brother. Meaning, this is the kiyum of the process of tshuva, connecting upper and lower. Boki baliyah, boki bir. We said that in order to do tshuva, you have to know how to go up and you have to know how to go down. This a mitzvah which combines one who is above and one who is below. That's this mitzvah of tshuva. The vov shebetoicho aleph. What represents the vav in middle of the aleph? What's the connector between the one who lost the object and the one who found the object? Ze bechinas ho'aveda v'yatzma. That's the object itself that got lost. Shehu mimoinoi shelodom, which is a person's money, a person's watch, his money, his glasses, his house, whatever it is. V'hamomoin hu bechinas klolius hagavnin. And we know that money is also referred to by this same terminology, multicolored. What about money impresses people? That shine, the silver and the copper and the gold, those colors, the Zohar HaKadosh calls it klolius. It's the colors in the money that people covet so much. The green stuff, they call it the green stuff. They don't call it, right? They call it for its colors. Excuse me? Right. Kimavur bedivrei Rabbeinu b'mokom acher, as Rabbeinu Zal explains in another Torah Likutei Moran, shehamomoin shel Yisrael hu bechinas gavnin iloin shekulim boy ayin shel b'mokom acher. Rabbeinu Zal explains in a different Torah Likutei Moran that Jewish money, what's special about it is the heavenly colors that shine in it. That's what the goyim covet. They see a certain light in it, and that's what they want. Vze bechinas vov shebetoich aleph, that corresponds to the vov in middle of the aleph, shehu bechinas rokia, which Rabbeinu Zal says in that Torah Likutei Moran, it corresponds to the sky, klolius hagavnin, which is this multicolor, bechinas guf huaveda, which is the object, the lost article, shehu memoinoi, which is some type of possession, sheboi klulin gavnin iloin kanal, in which are hidden these heavenly colors. Within any object of wealth are found these heavenly colors, be it a watch, a pen, whatever it is, a book, a diamond. Gam momoin hu bechinas vov. Rav Nosson Zal says, by the way, I'll tell you another chiddush, that money is symbolized by the letter Vov, Bechinas Vovei Ho'amudim, Kemuva B'mokom Acher. We know that in the Mishkan there were certain pillars, and the pillars are called Vovei Ho'amudim. And we know that the supporters, when you have people learning Torah, there's those that are learning, And there's the supporters of the yeshiva. The supporters are called these vovei ho'amudim, these pillars that uphold the building. And we know that they're given this nickname vov. So we see that the vov is symbolic of the wealth, the money, the possessions. V'zeh b'chinas gimel mitzvah yishana. Okay, so Rav Nosson Zal showed here that the act of return, that when an object gets lost, you have these three players coming into play. There's the loser, the finder, and the object itself. They correspond to the three sections of the Aleph. The Yerida, the Aliyah, and that sky in the middle, the object itself, the wealth itself, which is symbolized by the sky that connects them both. Now, Rav Nosson Zal is going to show how the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda corresponds to the three mitzvahs which the Jews were instructed upon entering Eretz Yisrael, which Rabbeinu Zal said in that chapter in the Qumran, correspond to the three parts of the Aleph. Now he's going to show that. V'zeh b'chinas gimel mitzvah sanal. This is the concept of these three mitzvahs. Lahachris zarei shel Amolek, to wipe out Amolek. Ki Amolek koyoroidef es machne don. Who did Amalek go after specifically? Amalek didn't attack all the Jews. It says, "Vayizanev b'chol kol hanecheshalim acharecha." Amalek attacked the stragglers. Vayizanev miloshin zonov. Zonov means the tail. Amalek went after the tail of the Jews, which was Shevet Don. They were the ones who were all the way in the back. Machnedon, umachnedon, humaasev. They were also, the Erev Rav were the stragglers, because they were in Zeichet to be taken in by the clouds that protected the Jews. Umachnedon, humaasev, l'chol hamachnois tivdusha. The Torah tells us that the Shevet Don were the ones who gathered together all the other Shvotim. Upirish Rashi. Rashi explains over there in the Chumash, Shekol mi shehoyo oyvei dovor hoyuhei magbin. When the Shvotim, when the tribes traveled through the desert, if anybody lost anything, who were the ones who were the lost and found? Shevet Don. They were the ones who were all the way in the back, and they ended up picking up all the baggage, all the lost baggage. So Shevet Don's main function was this Hashova Saveda. Nimtza, Shemachne Don Hoyume Shivin Kol Havedos. One of their main responsibilities was the Ashavas Aveda. Kihein Bechinas Ma'asef L'chol Hamachnois Tikdusha. They symbolize the ones who gather together. They're the Malchus, which collects and gathers together all the camps of Kedusha. Shekol Ma Shenevad V'yoytze V'nidach Min Hakedusha. Anything that gets lost and leaves the boundary of the Kedusha, Heim Magbin Umashivin Amekoime Vishiroshoi. They're the ones who pick it up and return it to its rightful place within the Kedusha. The Amolek Koyoroidef Es Machne Don Daiko. This is why Amolek's main battle was against Machne Don. Kihu Roitze Chas V'Sholom Sheyisharu Etzloi Chas V'Sholom Kol HaVedois. Because he wants all of these lost articles to fall into his hands, to remain in his possession. Ki hu mizgaber al bechinas ho'avedois daika. Because that's the ones who Amalek attacks the most. He tries to attack these lost souls. Kemo shekosav, as it says in the Chumash, vayizanev becho kol hanecheshalim acharecha. Amalek came and attacked the weak ones, the Nechesholim, the stragglers, those who couldn't keep up with everybody and they fell behind. Those are the ones who Amalek, he knew he couldn't attack the center, he wanted to attack the stragglers at the end. Sheheim oison shehoyo ho'onon poilton. This refers to those who are rejected by the clouds, the heir of Rav, those who the Anania Kovoid rejected them because they were impure. Sheheim bechinas nevodim v'nidochim in akdusha. Those are the ones who are lost and rejected from the kedusha. V'alkein nitztavinu lahachrizari shel Amalek. This is why one of the mitzvahs that Hashem gave the Jewish people was to erase Amalek, wipe out Amalek. V'azai mizgaber machne don. When you erase Amalek, machne don gets stronger. V'yecholin lahagbia ulahoshiv kol havedos. And they're able to pick up and return all the lost articles. Because the main battle is Amalek against Don. That's the main battle. Nimtza, we see from this, Shekrisus zaroi shel Amalek, Hu bechinas hashava saveido, that wiping out Amalek represents returning the lost articles. Because Amalek's main battle was against Dan, whose main function was hashava saveido. So that the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek is the mitzvah, is synonymous with hashava saveido. Because through the tikkun of hashava, of wiping out Amalek, that's how the Shevet Don gets stronger, because they were the main ones who had to face off with Amalek. And they were the ones who were responsible for hashava saveda. They were the main hashava saveda of the whole Klal Yisrael. That's number one. Next, v'livno is beis habchira. The mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdosh ze bechinas hadas, bechinas Moshe. Rabbeinu Zal said in Likutei Moran that the Beis HaMikdosh is a center for das, which is symbolized by Moshe Rabbeinu. Bechinas nekudo helyoina, who represents the upper part of the Aleph. Hainu bechinas horoye es hametziyah ve'enoy ma'alemayim mimeno. That relates to the one who finds the lost article and opens his eyes. He doesn't close his eyes to it. He doesn't make believe he didn't see it, walk past it and not look at it. But rather he uses his eyes, which is his das, his moshe. Shezeo bechinas he'oras nekudo helyoina. That's the concept of activating this upper part of the Aleph. Bechinas binyan beis hamikdash, which corresponds to building the beis hamikdash, ki ikar binyan beis hamikdash hu bebechinas zu, because the main concept of building the beis hamikdash is related to this lahashrois shchinosoi b'seichenu. What's the big deal about the beis hamikdash? So we'll have another house in Yerushalayim. There aren't enough houses. What's different about that house? The fact that that one has the presence of the Shekhinah resting on it, much more so than any other place. As it says, V'shochanti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. You will make a house for me, and I will rest among you. V'loy alim einai mehem. And the Pasuk says in Chumash over there, and I will not close my eyes to the Jewish people, Hashem says. So we see that in the mitzvah of Hashava Saveda, the guy who opens his eye, doesn't close his eye, he is activating this concept of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Because when Hashem talks about building a Beis HaMikdash for the Jews and resting among them, Hashem says, I will not absent myself, I won't close my eyes to the Jewish people. We know that the Beis HaMikdash represents the center of Kedusha for the entire city of Yerushalayim, and for the entire Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says there are 10 levels of Kedusha, and they're like concentric circles. The outer circle is Eretz Yisrael. Inside of that is Yerushalayim. Inside of that is the Harabayis. Inside of that is the Beis HaMikdash, going to higher and higher levels of Kedusha. What makes Eretz Yisrael holy? It's a pasuk in Chumash. Tomid Einei Hashem Olokecha Bo Meireishis Hashona Vadachris Hashona. It's the fact that the eyes of Hashem are upon Eretz Yisrael more so than any other place in the world. What makes Yerushalayim holy? The Pasuk says, V'hoyu Einei V'libi Shom. Hashem says, my eye and my heart will be there in Yerushalayim. So we see again that the mitzvah, the part of the mitzvah of Hashava Saveda, where you use your eye, the one who finds it, who sees that object there, and doesn't close his eye to it, he opens his eye to it, he's activating the Beis HaMikdosh, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, which is all the eyes. Where Hashem says, I will not close my eyes to the Jewish people. That's Binyan Beis HaMikdosh. Ka'idei HaBeis HaMikdosh V'Kelov, Nimshach kaviyochol elokutso yisborach shehu nelam v'nichse meyein koel. Because through the Beis HaMikdosh and all the kelim that were inside of it, that's what drew the presence of Hashem there, which is normally hidden. Normally Hashem is hidden from everybody. In the Beis HaMikdosh, Hashem became very visible. How? The miracles. The Gemara says there were all kinds of miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdosh. Number one, they had a room where they were constantly slicing up meat. Now, anybody that works in a butcher shop knows that you got 4 billion flies running around in a butcher shop, right? in the Beit Mitbachayim, in the Beis Hamikdash, there wasn't a single fly there. And in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you had the Aron existing in zero space. And on the Shulchan, you had the bread that was put there Saturday night, and it stayed out there, not in plastic bags, and not in the freezer, for 7 days straight, and it was as fresh and hot when it was taken off on Friday as when it was originally put there Saturday night before. The miracles that took place in the Beis Mikdash Hashem showed himself there. That was Hashem showing himself, not hidden, not where we don't see him, but rather in the Beis Mikdash is where Hashem was most apparent. Just like in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem is more obvious than he is in Chutz Loretz. The concept of Tomid Ein Hashem L'Kach Bo, the Hashgocha of Hashem, Hashgocha Proti of Hashem is more visible where there's more Kedusha. Vaydeh Beis Hamikdash V'Kelov Nizgale L'Kusei Yisborach. Through the Beis Hamikdash and all the Kelim that were in it, Hashem was revealed. Shezeh B'chinas He'oras Nekudo Hel Yoyna, which means activating this upper part of the Aleph, that part which symbolizes hiddenness, B'mechusa Iskasya, now is being revealed. Valkein Shom Nischaprin Kol HaChatoim. That's why the Beis Hamikdash was the center for tshuva. That's where all sins were forgiven, in the Beis Hamikdash, with the karbonos and everything. Kishom Kol HaTshuva Is VaTikunim. That's where all tshuva gathers together and all the tikunim gather together. Kizeh Iker Tikun HaTshuva. Because this is the main Tikun HaTshuva. What? When the upper part of the Aleph shines into the lower part, when the Das shines into the lower section, which means when the heavenliness is revealed, the light of Das is not hidden completely, you know, from sight. The canal, as we said earlier. So those are the two items. That's Lahach Rezare Shelamolek we discussed. And we discussed the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Now the third item, Velim Nois Melech, the appointing of a king, Ze Bechinas Ashirus. That's tied into wealth, Malchus, which is synonymous with Malchus. Shezehu Bechinas Guf Huaveda, that corresponds to the lost article itself. Shehu Mamoinoi, which is the person's money or possession, whatever it is. Bechinas Ashirus, Malchus. Shehu Bechinas Vov Shebetoicho Aleph. That's the concept of the Vov in middle of the Aleph, which corresponds to the appointing of the king. That's the lost article itself. So that what Rav Moshe Zal wants to show here is that any time that a Jew encounters this mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, they're encountering a video production of tshuva with all the three players. In tshuva, there's three players. There's the three sections of the Aleph. There's the three mitzvahs that the Jews had to do when they came to Eretz Yisrael. When a person encounters the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, that scenario is being reenacted. The lost article represents the vov in middle of the Aleph. The one who lost it is the Nekuda Tachtoina. The one who sees it and finds and opens his eyes to it is the upper part of the Aleph. When those three get it together, when the guy who finds the lost article returns it to the lower one, by doing that he's turning on all three of these powers. The power of building the Beis Hamikdash, appointing a king, and being Machrezare Shelamolik. And Rav Nosson Zal showed us some of the connections, some of how each one of these corresponds to each other.
Explain the Malchus again, the actual, I understand the group of the...
The object itself is Ashirus. Ashirus is synonymous with Melech. The Melech had to be, that was supposed to be the richest one. And the Torah speaks about that he's the one who has to be careful, loyar b'loyket, not to have too much wealth. He's the one who's, there's a pasuk, ha'oysher, v'ha'kovoit milfonecha. We learned in the previous halacha that Ashirus and Kovoit go together, right? Kovoit is Malchus. V'yovoi melech ha-kovoid. So that Ashirus and Malchus are usually used together. You follow? It's one bechina.